mixer down there?
Yeah, there's a couple of different buttons on there. Hopefully here in the near future, the sound pad is, you know, a little bit bigger. Got a Behringer mixer, courtesy of Mr. Zane coming in, so I'm going to have to play with that a little bit. But without further ado, welcome back to Third Coast Podcast. This afternoon, I am sitting with Mr. Alex and Mr. Justin. How y'all doing this afternoon?
We good, baby.
Not too bad, man. Not too bad.
It's just another wonderful, wet, muggy day in Louisiana, and a little chilly, too.
It rained a lot.
It's nasty.
Yeah. Like a lot.
All day, like that constant rain, too. Not that, like, storm, but just nonstop rain where everything gets wet, flooded.
It was chaos. It started raining at, like, 3:30 last night. And then this morning I woke up bringing the kids to the basketball game. It was still raining. It's a lot.
A lot. No outdoor activities today.
I had a little bit of outdoor activities, but that was courtesy of my job. So, but got to make money, I guess.
Always.
And, big shout out to 2024. And we're in February, too.
Yes, sir.
Already, too. It seems like blinking eye and a month's already gone.
Bro, January's been the longest year. It really has. It's been a long January.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why you say?
How so?
I lost my friend right before the first of the year.
Right. Right.
And then it's just been real long. Kind of a shitty start of the year.
Yeah.
But it's on the way up. I'm on a podcast.
How's that feel?
It was pretty cool. It's actually not that bad. I was way more nervous. It's really not good. We're just chopping it up. It's fun.
Just kicking it, man.
That's what one of the greatest things about being a part of Third Coast is everybody's welcome on the show, and we encourage the listeners to reach out and come join us on one of these wonderful occasions. And we ain't always in the shed. We can go pop up and record anywhere. Solar power, baby.
Anywhere. I saw y'all all out at the Void.
Yeah. At Krampus, too.
Yeah.
Krampus, yeah. Y'all did one in the old Chenevier building.
Yeah.
One in the gazebo.
Yeah. What's that building? It's the Chenevier?
Chenevier building.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it made for a great shot and great recording. I think that was 218 with Jaren. Yeah.
It was super tight. It was really cool. It looked really cool. Just that background of the Chenevier building. It was cool.
Shout out to Raj.
Daraj.
Yep. Daraj.
Big shout out to Spicy Ranch. Make sure y'all go out there and check out his stuff. That he just put out some new music. So, shout out to everybody in the Void family, the Void crew. We love y'all. And there's just so many people. I could go on for days naming everybody. Yes. But
Spicy Ranch just had he did a set on the Chewbacca's parade on a float.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In New Orleans, man, sucks. I hate to miss it, but yeah, shout out to Spicy Ranch, bro.
Man, everybody that I've met up here through the Void stuff, everybody's just genuine. Like that's how I describe it when people ask me what the Void is. It's like, it's good music and literal genuine people, and you can't find that in a lot of places, but you can find that in Oakdale.
Yeah,
you can find that in Oakdale.
No, yeah, it's just real people, and nobody calling you out on anything. Just everybody's your friend. Cool. If you need something, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Just genuine. Just everybody's like happy to see me when I show up. It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great. I don't get that very often.
Yeah, I feel that. It's always great. Like all the artists that are willing to come on the show and all the people that are willing to be a part of it and make videos. Big shout out to Ben Jones.
At the
Chili Grilly.
So,
I don't know Ben's handles, though. I would be lying if I gave the listeners that.
Jance
right
Jones, And Boudin Pickles.
That pickle Boudin, dude. I never had it before, and he was like, nah, try it. I was like, I don't eat pickles. He was like, no, try it. It was so good.
It's very
good. It was so good, dude.
So, Justin, my bad.
No, you're good. Yeah, some of people be more inviting around here in Oakdale and stuff. Justin, considering your career path, I'm sure there's some people that are not very inviting.
Oh, for sure.
You tell people what you do?
Absolutely. So I am the director of nursing of a psych hospital in Lake Charles. I've been a psych nurse for 11 years. So I've worked with the mentally ill most of the time that people come in. It's an acute psych hospital. The average stay is about 7 to 10 days. So you see people that come in with suicidal thoughts, schizophrenia, like bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, and substance abuse, because substances will make you crazy too. So I've seen it all, man, and it's wild. It's fun. It's good to help people when they're at their lowest point.
Yeah,
it is. A big thing in nursing, like, a lot of nurses don't like psych. They don't like dealing with psych patients, but they don't realize that psych patients get sick and get admitted to the hospital and are on medical floors, and they have to deal with them regardless.
Right.
And they get irritated by it, but it's crazy because psych patients get just, I feel like they get just there's definitely a bad stigma about them. Everybody just hates them and thinks they're less humans than anybody else. But everybody has psych issues.
Right.
And my biggest thing talking to people, I just treat them like people. Right. That's really all I do. I just talk to them like they're people. Like, I cut up with them, I talk shit with them, and treat them like they're actual human beings. And that's what builds a good rapport with the psych patients, just treating them like they're human beings, man. Because they don't get that anywhere else. Everybody else just looks down on them. And they're already low and in the dumps. So you just treat them like normal people, and they remember you. No, I always have a lot of patients that come up to me. Because, I mean, I've been doing it for 11 years, so I've been taking care of some of the same patients in Lake Charles for 11 years.
Right.
So when I see them when they come in my hospital, I'm like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, oh, I remember you. And they just know. They just chill out, you know? They don't want to fight. They just chill out. They know that they have somebody that they have a rapport with that they can talk to.
No, yeah. My experience with seeing facilities like you work in is nurses and stuff being fed up. And they're just, like, not treating their patients, like, with any respect.
Right.
Just super aggressive with them.
So bad, dude.
So aggressive. So I'm like, this is not helping the situation. If you just immediately come at them with aggression,
yes,
they're going to come back with aggression as well. Yes. I've seen that, yeah.
No, absolutely.
In my experience. But,
I worked maximum security lockdown.
Yeah.
And a lot similar. Of times,
there's a lot of psych patients in
there. Yeah, they would get cycled in and would have to be on that type of guard because of their mental disability that they had going on. So I used to have to go in, because being the lieutenant, I would have to go in with the, you know, sit with the nurse or the doctor that's in there.
Absolutely.
Safety, and it gave me a way different perspective on how the mental state of someone can be at a certain given time, because it can switch instantaneously. And knowing, like, trigger points and stuff makes you the rapport, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You get rapport with the patient, but you also start learning the patient too.
Absolutely, yeah. You learn what sets them off, and, you know, you got to tiptoe around it. But sometimes they need to be challenged.
Yeah.
And if you challenge them in a real way, like a real human being, it usually works out fine, you know. You don't meet them with aggression. You don't meet psych patients with aggression. You got to take them down a notch. If you're trying to calm somebody down, then you gotta be calm. You can't be aggressive when you're trying to calm somebody down. That's for sure.
So, Justin, you are from Lake Charles?
I am from Lake Charles. I grew up in Sulphur. I was born in New York, moved here when I was 4 to Sulphur. My dad's from here, my mom's from New York. And then we grew up in Sulphur. I graduated from Sulphur High School. And then went to McNeese, got my nursing, and then applied for every open nursing position in Lake Charles. And the only one that called me back was Memorial on the psych floor. And it turns out the director of that facility used to babysit my cousins in De Quincy. Like, so she knows my family. She knows my name. And 11 years later now, I share an office with this lady. She's my administrator, and I'm the director of nursing. Like, we share an office. So it's just, there's people that want to do psych and there's people that don't. So yeah, when you find somebody that wants to do psych, I mean, I can't see myself doing anything else. Yeah. Like, I can't be a, I don't think I can be a floor nurse. I mean, I could. I'd probably be bored.
Yeah.
Very, there's, psych is, it's feast or famine, man. It's either balls to the wall, crazy, everything's happening, or there's nothing going on.
Right.
So it's just like, you just have to kind of even flow with it, bro. Just roll with everything. You just
one of the main causes to like set up a ruckus, essentially. Is it, do you think it's the staff or is it one patient just kind of hyping everybody up because they're having an episode?
Sometimes there's the patients. Yeah. If there's an aggressive patient, he'll kind of hype everybody up. But most of the time when one patient is getting really aggressive, all the other patients chill out and just kind of watch. And yeah, they watch everything that you do and write down everything that you do.
Really?
To make sure that you're doing it okay and they can't get a lawsuit out of it or anything. But
so a lot of psych patients are looking for reasons to blame the nurses for
situations? Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
I can relate to that. That sounds like being a correctional officer, because you're going to handle these like crazy situations, and then it gets one person is, for instance, trying to eat one of the tube lights up there,
yeah,
breaks it and is literally eating it, but there's people watching what you were doing to make sure you're following the proper protocol.
Yep.
And if you don't, they'll just get to send it kite or a letter to this dude, be like, hey, you did this wrong, you can sue the company for this.
Right.
And it happens to a lot of people.
Oh, it's a lot.
It's,
yeah,
crazy.
You got to be careful. Always got to be careful when you're doing everything. It is wild. And you working in the prison facility is very similar to what I deal with, because a lot of the prisoners are untreated. They have a lot of untreated mental illness.
Yes.
A lot of substance abuse. I mean, all that substance abuse causes mental illness. Like
a lot of trauma.
Yes.
A lot of trauma affects the prison population, for sure.
So, like trauma at a young age. And
yeah.
Then, yep. Yeah. I think there's a correlation between childhood trauma and there definitely is in mental and having a mental illness, but probably too with like getting in trouble with the law and everything. Just when you do have to deal with that at a young age, it makes you grow up.
Yeah.
A lot faster than you're supposed to. It's really what it is. Like childhood trauma, it induces the body to grow up. It's like, okay,
right.
No, you're dealing with grown people problems. You have to grow up. And your child brain can't really deal with that. So it's like,
they just never evolved correctly.
Never.
Do you think it is a lot better? I mean, we see all these people on the street and stuff, and most of them have mental issues, you know, homelessness and stuff, huge mental issue population. Do you think, and a lot of them get locked up in prison and stuff, do you think it would be a lot better to put them in facilities that you work at instead of just locking these people up in prison? I mean, what's the correlation to do? Which
definitely. It would be better to have them in some kind of long-term care psych facility. But we shut down a lot of our long-term state beds.
That's what I was about to bring up. This, especially Louisiana is one of the leaders in this recently. They cut a lot of funding to the hospitals for psych patients, and now a lot of them are being transferred into penal institutions.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. And a lot of these people come out and have attacks or, you know, episodes, and it leads them to, they just get charged and they just throw them in the jail.
Yeah.
And it's not even, it puts a way different strain when you take someone mentally capable on certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
You throw them inside of, you know, prison and that type of environment, it sets into a different monster. I've seen people like that literally had mental problems, and then like just the prison like atmosphere and mentality, it's
cutthroat. It's cutthroat.
And you'll see like their files, and you know what, you know, the situations and stuff. You're like, maybe if he was getting the right help at a certain time, he would have never had this crime committed. And you're like, damn. And then you see all like, we're cutting back on this taxes, so it eliminates this from hospitals.
Right.
I was going to ask, how does that make you feel like that? Should there be more funding in y'all's field to allow why that won't happen in the future? But now it's like you see it and it's like defunding. You're like, we need it so bad, and it's like y'all taking money away. It seems like counterintuitive into a mission that should be done.
Absolutely. There used to be a state hospital in Kinder. There was a state hospital. So to go to state, you have to go through your commitment, and they're like, we can't fix you in 15 days, so you need to be judicially committed, and then a judicial commitment is up to 6 months. Wow. So, and then these patients, they usually stay on the acute psych floor for about 2 months, usually, and then get sent off to the state hospital, where they would keep going for up to 6 months or whatever. But they have defunded that a lot, and they just kind of release the patients out into the world, and that's why they're just ending up in the correctional facility. It might actually, I don't want to say it'd be better, but some of these patients can't live on their own.
Right.
And stuff like that happens where they commit a crime and they get put in jail. No, it's not like being in a hospital, but I know they have psychiatric care in jails.
Yeah.
There's a psychiatrist there. They get their medications. There's people watching them, but that's what happens when you don't watch them. They commit crimes. They hurt people and stuff like that. The severely mentally ill patient.
But is there more like rehabilitation inside of the psych facilities compared to jail? I would assume so.
Way more. We do so many groups. We have social workers and licensed counselors that we talk to patients all day long. We're trying to give them the coping skills to deal with all of their issues.
Right.
And they don't have that in jail. They just see a doctor probably for like a minute.
Just so they can get their meds.
And he gets his meds. And yes, medication helps, but medication doesn't fix. It might help 75%, but the last 25% and everything is counseling and therapy, trying to go break through all these things.
Just understand how to deal with situations when you're confronted with them.
A lot of it's to keep them comatose, really.
Yeah.
If they have like an extreme mental illness and stuff, they get prescribed these, you know, wild stuff to keep
hard drugs.
Yeah, to keep them. And then a lot of people in the system know that, so they act like that, so they can get to them type of hard drugs. Mm-hmm.
Because it'll get you a little high.
Yeah.
No, You can feel a little high. I don't know what's in it, but yeah, they called it booty juice in the psych facility. I've seen people freak out just because, like, I need a good night's sleep.
Absolutely, bro. Yeah. I can't wait till I get older and I go to the hospital and I act up so I can get, it's called nursing slang, we call it a B-52.
They called it the cocktail in prison.
Yeah, it's a cocktail. We call it a B-52. That's the one of them. It's Benadryl 50 milligrams, Haldol 5 milligrams, and Ativan 2 milligrams. That's the main booty juice that you hit somebody with.
Yeah.
And I wish it was like instant, like Dexter. You know, he just fucking stabs somebody in the neck and they go out. No, it takes about 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, so that's a myth?
It's a myth.
Oh, okay.
The closest thing to that is ketamine. IM ketamine is 5 minutes.
Really?
And they go from acting up to passing out. But then you have to put them on cardiac monitoring for the next 6 hours. So we don't give ketamine in our facilities because we don't have cardiac monitoring.
Right.
But so we give the Benadryl, Haldol, and Ativan. And yeah, they usually just go to sleep. And they sleep for the next 12 hours and they wake up well rested. A little groggy because we gave them an antipsychotic, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of takes them down a notch.
Also in the psych facilities, I've seen like they have the strap room. I don't know what y'all call it.
Oh, restraint room.
Restraint room.
Seclusion room. Seclusion restraints.
And like, yeah, I understand someone's freaking out. They worry about them harming themselves and all this. But if you lay somebody on the bed, any human would freak out way more now that they're strapped to a bed.
Absolutely.
Oh, I got, when I worked at the prison to be certified to do that to somebody, they have to do it to you, and you have to sit there for like 5 minutes strapped up. Put it this way, I'm like a slight claustrophobic type person. I mean, I fly and do all that type of stuff, but like I do have like claustrophobia problems, so I don't like being tied up.
Yeah.
And when they put me in that chair, and I'm calm and whatever.
Oh, you were in the chair, not flat on a bed?
No, I was like, they put me in the restraint chair.
I have one, yeah.
Yeah, and like you had to sit there for 5 minutes. And I'm telling you, about 2 minutes in, you like mentally, you're like, because you can't fucking
locked
move.
In, dude.
It mentally,
I'm like, a flex and bust out of here.
it ain't happening. Nope. But I actually had to put someone in one before, and that's a rough when they're flashing out. Yep. Basically, it is. I'm a grown man, and I had to put like a 140-pound dude in one of them chairs, and he felt like I was trying to put Hercules in a chair.
Dude, fighting for their life, dude. That's what usually they're fighting for their life. That's the
scariest thing.
Can you imagine?
And it's not just you. Do you have a team you work with?
Always. Okay. Yeah, so we always have several people that all.
And you're a bigger guy. That's how my team worked too in Cell Block. Like all the big dudes worked in Cell Block. That's just how it is. You muscular. You big and chunky. You just a big dude. You working in Cell Block.
And put some weight on them, people.
It took like three of us to put this. I'm talking about like someone like Justin size. I forgot his name, but he was like 6'8", big old dude. And it took 140-pound dude. It took us like manhandling this dude to strap him up in his chair. It was bad.
There was one patient that we had to put in restraints. This gentleman was like 450 pounds.
Holy shit.
And we were about 50 yards away from the restraint room. We had to go around a nurse's station, down a hall, into the restraint room to put him in restraints. Bro, that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. He was fighting for most of the part, but he got a little winded. You know, he's like an alligator. You gotta tire him out and then they'll stop fighting.
This is where you're at now?
No, it was at a previous hospital. But
the A hospital?
Yeah.
I know you.
But it's like he was on the ground, so we had to drag 450 pounds. Like we had to get sheets underneath him and drag him like
dead weight
too. Always and kicking. Like somebody was riding his leg, like literally like just bear hugging his leg and he's just flopping this person around.
So he was in the outside area?
No, he wasn't. He was on the inside. It was on the adolescent unit.
Oh, so you had to bring them all the way from the adolescent to the...
No, to the restraint room on the adolescent unit.
Oh, I don't know. No,
yeah, so it's like, he was over here. You had to go around the nurse's station, down the hall, into the restraint room, get him up on the bed. We got about halfway, dog. And I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, bro, are you done? Like, can you just stop? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to drag you the rest of the way, man. It's so hard. It's like huffing and puffing, bro. Like... Like, it was so hard to get him all the way over there. So, there are some big people that like to act up. They really are. Yeah. But, my size helps being a psych nurse.
Yeah, for sure.
And my talking ability. I used to not be as good as I am now. I've learned a lot being a psych nurse. When I was younger, I was more ready to fight and ready to go and deal with those situations. Now, I don't want to do that. No, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to be winded. People are going to laugh at me. So it's like, no, let's talk to them. And that is the coolest thing, man. When you can talk to somebody and make them do what you want to do just by talking to them, just take them from their like just fight or flight response back into their frontal brain where they're starting to reason, and then they calm down, and then they apologize. Oh, in every situation where we've had any kind of issue on the unit where we've had to restrain people, it's the next day they come back and apologize. They really do.
Yeah.
And I tell them that, too. When they're fighting, cussing me out, fuck you, you fat bitch, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'm like, hey, bro, you're going to apologize to me tomorrow. He's like, fuck you, no, I won't. Next day, hey, man, I'm sorry about that.
Just have an episode. Yeah.
I was like, you're good, dog. You're good. You can't hold grudges. Yeah. You're fine, dog. You're good. You're great. We're great. I ain't worried about it.
Joe, have we ever been able to find a video or get the video of you getting KO'd?
What? No. Oh, you talking about in the prison? Yeah. In Cell Block?
You got KO'd?
Yeah. This dude, long story short, this dude slipped his restraints because he was cuffed wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, you're going. And he was one... Basically, like a psych patient, one of these dudes were trying to get off the segregation tier at the facility, and we months and months, and he would cut up, go suicide watch, all this type of stuff, and finally, we got him to move, and I was like, today's gonna be the day. I was like, man, you're going to See, blah, he slipped his cuffs and just like Superman punched me in the side of the head, knocked me smooth out. The concrete woke me up. Dang.
Yeah. The concrete woke me up.
Man, I wish we had that video of that.
Yeah, it was. Working maximum security for the state is definitely a rough
Absolutely. Where were job. You at?
I worked at Allen for a while.
Yeah.
And I was part of the state tag team for a while, too.
Really?
But, I left that profession to be a gringo in the nurseries for a little while.
So compare that job to now you're making plywood.
Oh, what from going all the... I sit back and think about all the different jobs from, like, the Army to being, a correctional officer to growing plants, and then now I'm making plywood, veneer on the green end at Boise. I mean, I make the best money I've ever made at Boise, so I can't complain.
And you know what? That is a rewarding job. Carpentry and anything like that is rewarding. Like, working in the prison industry or psych field is the least rewarding job, bro. All the patients just yell at you, call you fucking names, to say you ain't shit, you ain't shit, you ain't shit. And then, like, nobody appreciates the correctional... I know nobody appreciates the correctional officers. I know for a fact.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, that's real talk.
So that's a thankless job. Like, so I thoroughly enjoyed, like, building porches and doing carpentry work because there's a start, there's work, and then there's a finished product.
Right.
In psych, you can't... You usually don't see
there's no finished product. Yeah.
There's no finished product.
And see, that's why I enjoy my job now is because I go to work. I just, get the machine. The machine, as long as the machines are running, they're making wood, it's a good day at work. If not, we're going to try to fix it, the problems. But it's like from that 8 hours or 12 hours, it's like I'm there, I'm done. But like when it was working at the prison and stuff, you would see situations. It's like I'd come home and be like, damn.
God.
Like, fuck, that dude had it so rough, and it was not even necessarily his problem,
Right.
And then that part weighed on me a lot. Yeah. So now it's like when I go do my job, it's like job, home.
Yes.
And it's not like job, home. Man, Tyrone really had it fucking, you're not even thinking about home. Like, man, fuck, Tyrone had it fucking bad. And it was so, so wrong for what happened to him. And you're just, and you'll zone out and you're forgetting all about family and everything else. And then you're like...
Absolutely, man. Yeah. So I used to live in Grand Lake, and it was about a 30-minute drive from the hospital home. Like, there's so many times just after a bad shift, I just ride home in silence.
Exactly.
And just thinking. And it's like, God, it's hard not to bring that home. It really is hard to bring this work not home. You just kind of got to just cut it off. You just kind of – you learn that people – I mean, you have to learn that you only have a limited amount of fucks to give.
Yeah.
Like, don't care about the people that don't care about you. I don't value people's opinions that I wouldn't go for, that I wouldn't go to ask help for, I try not to value that. Like, somebody saying something bad about me, I don't put any weight in it if I don't know you, bro. If I'm not going to ask you for advice, then I'm not going to value your opinion of me.
Right.
So that was a hard thing to learn, and it took a long time to learn that work and, just not getting irritated with patients. Like, they don't know me. Like, they don't know me. Their opinion of me doesn't matter.
Right. Well, and with patients, it's the same thing as a prison. Like,
For
them, like,
they're very similar. Like, prison and patient, very similar. Psych is very similar.
Yeah. But, like, you get to go home at night.
Yeah.
When you, after your day at work, you get to go home. Mm-hmm. Those people are still there.
Still there.
They have to sleep there. That's where they're at.
Yeah, I got something to add to that. I used to carry, when I worked at the prison for about six months after I started working for the prison, I worked there for about 3.5 years-ish. And about 6 months in, I carried a pistol with me everywhere I went. Because, you know, dudes would be like, because their people would find out who you were. Because, you know, you had Facebook. Really? That's why now, like, if you look up my, I have to add you before you look up my Facebook. Because they would look you up because it's just easy. Everybody has Facebook. They look you up. Oh, you live in Oakdale.
Yep.
This, that, and the other. And dudes be like, hey, I know you live in Oakdale. My people might be by your way. So it like paranoia set in. And that's one of those things that like a lot of correctional officers and stuff have to deal with. These, not necessarily these inmates are going to act on the action, but that is a real thing that they have to deal with too. Because you could be like, say you write them up for being on the phone during count or some shit,
right.
And they'd be like, oh, hey, Oakdale, Willis, find his people. And they hang up the phone and go sit on their bed, and you'd be like, fuck. And you know what I'm saying? It was bad.
That's wild.
That's one of the driving reasons, because when I worked cell block, I got death threats and, like, I'm going to send my people your way and shit like that. So
yeah, that's way more extreme than what I have to deal with in a psych field. But I have been threatened and everything, and I don't put my last name on social media, like, because it's too easy.
Yeah,
too easy and too easy to find, man.
That's words of wisdom too. If y'all have social media out there, especially Facebook is a big one that most people have. Make sure that you go and put all your stuff on private, so they have to be your friends to see what you have on your page.
Yep. Yeah.
But then it's bad too, though, because what's ever out there right now that you don't have privatized is already on everything. They can find it.
Everything is everywhere. Alex taught me that, man. He was like, everything is everywhere. I carry two phones in my pocket. It's always listening.
Yep.
I was asking him about an Alexa. I was like, man, it listens to everything. And he goes, your phone listens to everything.
Everything can be recorded now. Everything. And anytime I do anything, I always assume, hey, this is being recorded.
Right? Always.
And always. I do nothing that can possibly catch me up. Everything is being recorded, always. Because everybody has a camera in their pocket. Your phone can always be listening. You've seen these Netflix docs and stuff where they can just, like, ping everywhere you've been, exactly where you're at. Yeah, that's why. There should be no more murderers getting away anymore.
Right?
I don't understand how...
Murder was way easier in the 60s and 70s than it is now, man.
You're not getting away with that at all.
The always big driving factor when I look at... Uh-oh.
My bad.
It's not the sound pad. It's the iPhone. I'm a more Android guy myself.
I've seen those green texts coming across, bro. We know you're an Android guy.
Green text. I just switched. That's my favorite sound, dude. My son plays the trombone. I can't wait till he learns how to play that.
I play the trombone.
Yeah, he loves it. It's so great. I love it. He's in sixth grade band, man. Cool. I was in the band when I was in high school. I played percussion, though. But him with that trombone, I can't wait to...
I should have brought my trombone out, too. You know the trombone I've been playing, too, is trombone someone left at the Void.
Yeah.
Someone left it to be, like, made as, like, an art project.
Yeah.
And I took this...
It's quality?
Cleaned it up, and it's quality. I played it for the centennial for Oakdale, the 100-year thing in high school,
I've
worked. Seen you out there.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. Trombone, killer instrument.
It's a killer instrument, and so he was in between like a trumpet. I was trying to get him to play a brass instrument, man, because if you want to keep playing, you can be in a band playing a brass instrument. Or I really wanted him either play the trumpet or the saxophone.
Yeah.
Until I saw the prices of instruments. Because I'm a percussionist, all I had to buy was sticks and a pad and some mallets. No. I think $1,200 for a trombone?
Really?
$1,200. Saxophone is like fucking $2,400.
Why do you think I was so happy to find a working trombone that they were about to use for art?
Yes.
What?
Only thing I had to do was, you know what? How do y'all clean y'all's trombone? I clean mine in a bathtub You fill the whole bathtub up, you put all the parts in it and stuff, and you just Dawn, a little bit of Dawn, let it soak, then you stand them up on a towel, let it dry, and then you dry it off a little bit, and then you grease the hell out of it.
You gotta grease it. You gotta make sure it's greased. See, I don't know. I think they taught that to the kids in sixth grade. Like, he didn't bring it home for the first couple of weeks, just learning things, how to take care of it, and how to properly oil it, properly just grease the slide and everything. He got a couple dinks on it because he's in sixth grade, but there's insurance on it, so that can be fixed. But yeah, trombone instruments are expensive.
That's crazy.
Saxophones are like $2,500, dude.
That's insane.
And then like saxophones, clarinets all have little wooden, not wooden, all them little cardboard little valves on them, and then you have to have a reed to... Playing like woodwind instruments are expensive. So with brass too, is unlike woodwinds, why brass is so popular, especially in Louisiana, is because of the humidity.
Yeah,
brass holds well against the humidity in Louisiana versus like clarinets, saxophones, and stuff like that.
Urethra swells and stuff.
So
yeah,
brass instruments. That's why famous in Louisiana.
Sousaphones, trombones, trumpets. You know,
you
all
just
brass.
Made that connection for me too. It's yeah, practical. That makes more sense.
That's why.
Yeah.
What?
Because you can pull it out anywhere. You can pull it out on Bourbon Street,
and it's cheap too, and it's expensive to play.
What?
Yeah,
What I want to see next is Joe, you hopping on Holly Rock's head. With your trombone, bro. That's what I want to see.
Chuck offered me that.
I know, bro.
I got to practice more.
Right. Jump on a Holly Rock set with that? Oh, my gosh.
Cricket was out there with his Concordia, and you remember that?
Yeah.
Cricket was out there for the 100-year anniversary of Oakdale. That was cool.
Yeah. See Joe up there with Holly Rock?
I had to go work. I got off work at 3. I went and did the high school thing at the football game. Finished that, and then I had to be at work at like 2:45 in the morning. That's the only reason I missed going out there to play.
Damn.
I was supposed to go play with them, but
yeah.
Going to work at 2:45?
Oh, I do that all the time here recently. I work 6 days a week right now.
What time?
If I work 12s, it's from 3 to 3.
3 to 3?
I have.
I like working 3 to 3. I like getting off 3, and then like going in nursing, when you go in from 3 to 7, everybody's asleep. You don't have to pass morning meds. It's easy. But like working night shifts, about 4 o'clock, you hit a wall. And it's like, okay, there's nothing to do. And you're just sitting there trying to stay awake. And about 5 o'clock, patients start waking up, start giving them coffee, got to draw blood and stuff like that. But it's like from 4 to 5 is like, oh my God, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yeah, that crazy schedule's for y'all, bro. I work like 7 to 3, 7 to 4
Must
every
be nice.
Day.
Must yeah. be nice.
No, Monday through Friday.
I can't complain. I got a Monday through Friday job, and we're working pretty good. So I work like 8 to 2:33 because I got to pick up my kids off a school bus. So it's
8 to 3?
Yeah.
But
if a nurse calls in, no matter what I'm doing, I have to go to work. Like, because I have 2 nurses that work in the building.
So you're always on call?
Always. I'm on call right now. Always. 100%
so your job
of the time.
Can call you right now and you got to go?
Yeah.
I got to head back to Lake Charles?
Yep.
Whoa.
That's tough.
Always.
Right, that's tough.
I get paid for it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I get paid pretty well.
Well, I think this is a good time for a mid-show break. Make sure y'all check out Thurko's Podcast on 5000w.thurkospodcast.com on all major streaming platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and 5000w.thurkospodcast. And we will be right back. All right, so we're back from break. So this next little thing we're going to talk about this afternoon is about mermaids. And the reason why I think it's real relevant is because if y'all ain't checked it out, check out the Mitch Lang interview for his upcoming movie, Sea of Madness. And he brought up that one of the creatures that comes from the black goo is mermaids or mermans. And Alex is going to take it away from here.
Let's do it. Let's learn about mermaids. Mermaids a fabled marine creature with a head of an upper body of a human being and a tail of a fish. Similar divine or semi-divine beings appear in ancient mythologies. In European folklore, mermaids and mermen were natural beings who lived like fairies, had magical and prophetic powers. They loved music and often sang. They thought very long-lived. They were mortal and had no souls. Many folk tales recorded marriages between mermaids and men. In most of the man steals the mermaid's cap or belt, her comb or mirror. While the objects are hidden, she lives with them. If she finds them, she returns at once to the sea. In some variants, the marriages last while certain agreed-upon conditions are fulfilled, and it ends when the conditions are broken. Though sometimes kindly mermaids and mermen were usually dangerous to man, their gifts brought misfortune, and if offended, the beings caused floods and other disasters. To see one on a voyage was an omen of a shipwreck. They sometimes lure mortals to death by drowning, as did Lorea of the Rhine, or incited young people to live with them underwater, as did a mermaid whose image is carved on a bench in the church of Zenora, Coral, England.
Aquaman. You did well, bro.
It was nice. I'm sorry, it's kind of on the spot. My bad.
You did a lot better than I would have done.
Yeah. Joe just put me on the spot to read all that, by the way, listeners and viewers. Yeah. Thanks for that, Joe.
You're welcome, kinfolk. That's what I'm supposed to do, put you on the spot. You did good, though. I like it.
Congratulations.
So, what y'all's take on, what do y'all think mermaids or mermans really are, in y'all's personal aspect?
Manatees.
They might
mermaids are manatees. Sailors, back in the day, way back,
were drunk.
They're like, hey, that thing kind of looks like a human to me.
It's not a fish. I'm gonna fuck it.
I'm gonna have intercourse with that thing and tell everybody there was a mermaid.
I think maybe. Some manatee going on, but a lot of it too is they were sail for so long and they didn't have enough fresh drinking water sometimes. Yeah. And they would start out up here thirst, drink seawater, which would cause them to hallucinate because of the salt. And which they thought the manatees were mermaids through legends because back in the day, that's all they had. They had legends. They didn't have Google,
Yahoo
and stuff. They had Grandpa and told them about the sea monsters.
But yeah, could you imagine being at sea like that in the ship pitch dark at night? You probably hear some weird stuff and you're probably like, all right, dude, that's definitely
the sea.
Somebody is talking from the sea to me.
The sea at night is scary. It's
horrifying.
I'll go outside at night on a beach, smoke a cigarette and everything. I will not even step foot in the water. That is the scariest thing. I think that is just the scariest thing, the sea at night.
No, and could you imagine being on a ship thousands of miles from the coast and in the middle of the ocean, pitch black. You can't see anything. Absolutely, your brain is going to start coming up with these crazy imaginations that mermaids, some a siren or whatever is talking to me right now.
You just hear a sound.
And you hear things like, whoa.
Oh, what is that? That must be a mermaid. That's a mermaid.
I'm going to figure out. I'm going to attach this sound to someone speaking to me.
Yep. That's wild.
And wild. It's wild, too. It's like they would sing songs like it mentions the siren, but I've seen some in Japanese lore that the mermaids or sirens would sing songs which would hypnotize the sailors to walk out and drown in the ocean.
To lure the sailors into it. Yeah, that's what the whole thing is. It's like,
take them to Davy Jones' locker, dog.
Yeah, these things are in the ocean. These sailors have been out there forever, so they're desperate for any other interaction other than what's been available to them on the ship. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they'll dive overboard to try to get a female, the love of a female.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense.
I think that the ocean, or earthly ocean, is a different universe in its own self because we can't touch the bottom.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I believe that, like, the ocean's a universe. We're just, like, existing on the middle plane and then this space.
Like, just dive into the ocean, okay? This can be a whole nother podcast, the ocean.
Like, dive. But, I mean, we're kind of far from the ocean. Can't dive in it right now.
I don't know, bro. It rained, dog. It's almost an ocean now. You almost got lakefront property out in front of you.
No, the whole ocean is such a mystery. Like, we have, between us, the moon, and the planets, and our universe, we have, NASA has explored more of the space than they have the ocean.
They know more about space than they know about the ocean.
Yes, thank you. That was what I was trying to say.
And then, like, they have already came out and said the octopus is not from the Earth. They said, they literally said that this is not from the Earth. We don't know where the fuck it came from.
That's an incredible creature. Like, that's unbelievable, though.
The intelligence of octopus is insane.
Just look at some of the creatures, like the giant squid, the whales. You know,
the giant squid was discovered in our lifetime. We thought it was a myth. It was in our lifetime. I remember watching that documentary on the Discovery Channel about the giant squid, and they fucking reeled a 50-foot giant squid up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we don't know what is at the bottom of the ocean.
There's definitely mermaids.
Probably mermaids. Probably something else way crazier than even mermaids.
So make sure that if y'all are excited into mermaids, y'all have listened to the Mitch Lang interview, make sure that y'all stay tuned for the Sea of Madness. And while y'all stay tuned, make sure to check out Bogman on YouTube, Roku, everywhere. Just type in the Bogman and check it out because it's, look, the Bogman. But
legends are sometimes true.
I'm going to digress a little bit from the
from
the mermaids, and let's talk about some king cakes. I know a lot of listeners out there ain't from Louisiana, and when y'all hear it's Mardi Gras down here, y'all think we getting drunk, throwing beads, seeing titties everywhere, and that's not really what's going on. It's like a whole bunch of people riding horses, and a whole bunch of people talking shit about Walmart king cakes, and everybody's buying them because the only place people shop around here is at where? Walmart. So, but that's
all that is going on, too. I mean, let's be fair.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
No, let's be fair. Oh, okay. So, to be fair.
Nah, yes.
There we are. Yeah, okay. The only place you're going to see in Louisiana where someone gets beads for flashing their goods is in New Orleans.
That's it.
It ain't nowhere else. And you're not about to go up to Alexandria. You ain't going to Mamou. You ain't going to Oberlin. Has a hell of a fucking good Mardi Gras, and a lot of people don't know that.
Absolutely.
Bro, Mamou's
Mardi Gras is... Mamou is where, that's my Mardi Gras I knew growing up. Yeah. That's the Mardi Gras I went to growing up. And then Mardi Gras in Mamou and the Mardi Gras in New Orleans are two totally different things.
I've never been to the Mardi Gras in Mamou. This year, next week is the first time I'm being Mardi Gras for New Orleans.
Oh, so, you're going to New Orleans, yeah. But no, Mardi Gras Mamou is just on the main street in Mamou. It's just a bunch of like Zydeco drunk people trying to do stunts on horses, standing up on horses, just doing chicken runs. Like, that's not
chicken
New Orleans.
Runs, yeah.
No, there's no chicken runs in New Orleans, but they go down
like all the back streets and back roads. Mm-hmm. So say you live in Cajun country. I call it Cajun country hell. It's what I call Mamou and stuff because it's the real Cajuns out there because these are broke people that continue the tradition on.
Yep.
And it's the truth.
And for people that don't know what chicken runs are, chicken runs is when everybody puts on these Mardi Gras outfits and
that are a little racist.
Okay, we're not right. And they put on these Mardi Gras.
Oh shit, wrong button. My bad.
That works.
They put on these chicken runs, and they put on these Monaco outfits that have these tags, or what do you call those?
Tassels.
Tassels.
Fringe.
These fringe all over the outfits, and they literally let go a chicken, and they chase after a chicken. And this comes from, the origin of it was the people who were very less fortunate, poor people, they would, during Mardi Gras, during a season, they would go to people who had money, who had chickens, had livestock, and they would go and steal their livestock, go steal their chickens, they would have food. That's how the origin of it came from. And now it's just, yeah, you put on these silly costumes and you let chicken go free and you chase after a chicken.
Chase it.
And then the thing, too, is like you harvest the chicken, too. Yeah. Like, and then you feed the, like, it's like a community gathering and everybody puts, it's basically, it's supposed to be like a Cajun trail is what Mardi Gras is supposed to be about. And the chicken chasing, you catch the chicken, then you cook the chicken, then you make gumbo to feed everybody or jambalaya or whatever.
Yep. And
it's a little side note, too, that's really aggravate me from being a Louisiana resident right now is, like, crawfish was designed for a poor man's meal because that's all they had to eat. They're like, hey, let's eat this bug that grows that is around the rice fields. And now motherfuckers are paying $16, $17, $18 to have crawfish.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And then it counteracts what the real value of that was and why it has its identity. And now it's like you upcharging for a ditch bug. That makes no sense.
I heard that we're not going to have a crawfish season this year. Like, it's supposed to be outrageous.
Yeah, it's going to be bad because of the drought.
But this is like almost all Cajun meals. Or come from the less fortunate. The gumbo, it's just whatever we had left over. Just throw it together.
Make a roux, throw it in there.
Jambalaya, like you said, everything is just like rice. And then whatever you have left over, boom. Cajun meals.
Boudin.
The trash.
Louisiana, we've been living, a lot of our foods are based on how we've lived for hundreds of years down here, and Louisiana has been bottom of the boot and bottom of the barrel for a long fucking time, and it's evidence within our food, within our culture, and everything.
Absolutely. No, and still,
alligator, nutria, anything.
People always say, and nutria. Even though it is the lower bottom of the food, you know, people always say, hey, if you had to choose one genre of food, Mexican or Italian, no, me, I'm going Cajun all day.
South I-10 Cajun.
Cajun food. Give me some gumbo, some jambalaya, some crawfish. That's my jam, bro. Yeah. That's so much.
I love it.
I love it.
I love fucking Cajun food.
Well, let's talk about this fucking king cake. So what is a king cake? The name king cake comes from the biblical story of the three kings who brought gifts to baby Jesus. A blend of coffee cake and cinnamon roll. The king cake is usually iced in yellow, green, and purple, the colors of Mardi Gras, and is frequently packed with fruity fillings and
fruity fillings.
And hidden within the seasoned sweets also lies a special surprise, a plastic king cake baby to continue the fun. What does the baby inside the king cake mean? Hidden in its interior under a slice is a small plastic baby. Whoever finds it must either bring the next cake or throw a party, thus sparking an unending round of food and fun, whether it's in the workplace, home. The king cake is a special gift that keeps giving throughout the Mardi Gras season.
Always.
So I'm going to stop right there and ask, what is y'all's favorite type of king cake, if y'all have one?
Bavarian
cream cheese, right?
Yes, sir. That's mine.
I think mine is cream cheese.
Is it straight cream cheese?
Yeah. I like Bavarian. I like strawberry cream cheese, too.
The strawberry cream cheese is probably my hitter for
my wife's is cake. Just a plain. She loves just
straight cheese. Straight cinnamon.
Yeah.
King cake.
Just a cinnamon roll, basically, with icing. Yeah. And I'll eat it. I'll eat it.
No, absolutely. It's crazy that king cake is such a southern thing. Like a Louisiana thing. Because it's just... It literally
it's
is
a big cinnamon roll.
A giant cinnamon roll. That's some, yeah, it's got this... colorful icings on top and has a baby inside.
I had one that, okay, so the baby is usually not pre-hidden in the king cakes that I buy.
You hide the baby.
I had one that was hidden for me, and that was the one that I almost choked on. It was already hidden under the king cake. Like, it was placed up on the bottom, so I just didn't know it. I just fucking... eating king cake, and there was a baby in there. Like, that was the first time I ever had a baby that was pre-hidden for me.
Yeah. And if Joe's beautiful lecture wasn't clear enough, the king cake have a baby in it, and the baby means it's lucky to get the baby, but most people don't look at it as lucky, because if you get the baby, you have to buy the next king cake.
Buy a king cake.
Yeah, for the party. Or throw a party or whatever. So, but the baby means that it's prosperous, and yet you're going to be successful if you find the baby. So it's a lucky thing, but you have to buy the next king cake.
Yeah. And then the Rouses in Lake Charles that I live in, they don't stop making king cakes after Mardi Gras season.
Really?
Like, there's Valentine's Day king cakes. They make king cakes all year round. They just change the color of the icing, dude. And honestly, in Lake Charles, Rouse's is probably one of the better ones that you can get.
No, the best king cakes come from donut shops.
Yeah, but I don't like donut king cakes. Not at all.
Have you ever tried the Boudin king cake?
I have tried the Boudin king cake.
I ain't never had one yet.
I've had it. Yeah, it's a cinnamon roll stuffed with a Boudin.
I want to. There's been some mixed reviews on the ones in Lake Charles. They put like crawfish.
Oh yeah, the crawfish sauce
all over the top of it and everything. So I'm waiting to find my one. But I eat a Boudin kolache every morning for breakfast. So I feel like I'd fuck with a Boudin king cake.
A Boudin what?
Kolache.
Boudin kolache. Yeah.
What's a kolache?
What?
What the fuck is a kolache? I don't know what
a kolache is. So, a regular kolache is just it's sausage in a piece of bread.
It's like this croissant.
Yeah, croissant bread.
Stuffed with meat or cheese.
It's usually sausage and cheese.
Usually sausage and cheese.
And we do Boudin down here.
And they do Boudin. And for those who don't know, Boudin is a sausage in Louisiana that consists of like pork, liver, onion, rice.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So they put it in a croissant bun?
Yeah, just in some kind of casing. They just wrap it with bread, bro. It's the best thing ever. There's this one place in Lake Charles, dog. I'm going to bring you one, dude.
Joe, you blow my mind that you don't know what
I can't believe that you know what a kolache was.
I cannot believe you don't know what a kolache is.
Kolaches are opening my mind right now.
I'm sure you can get one.
The third food eye in Louisiana.
Donut Palace in Oakdale definitely has kolaches.
Get you one, man. The sausage rolls are tight, you know. Sometimes they just put a hot dog in it, and it's like, eh. But
I'm going to definitely have to check out that. A kolache?
Kolache.
So, yeah. So, like, you know, pig in a blanket?
Yep. That's what it is.
It's a pig in a blanket on steroids.
Yeah.
Really?
It's bigger and for breakfast.
Yeah. It's just a bigger version of a pig in a blanket.
That's exactly what it is.
Let me get back to this last little thing on king cakes right quick. Where did king cakes originate? King cakes is said to originate in old world France and Spain and came to be associated during the Middle Ages. When it was brought to the New World, the tradition evolved further. In New Orleans, king cake and Mardi Gras go hand in hand. The cakes can be found starting in July and available through Ash Wednesday and the start of Lent. The symbolic bean or baby baked or embalmed into the cake is important to Mardi Gras celebrations because the person that gets the piece contains the baby must host the next year's celebration. And I guess that means like wealth and good luck and all that greatness and stuff like that.
No, yeah, and the king cake is so tied into the Catholic religion.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Mardi Gras is.
A lot of Mardi Gras is, yeah. And even it comes down to colors, the gold, the purple, green, it's all to do with the Catholic religion. And it all means, I don't know exactly what. I don't see that on paper here, but
oh, my bad, my bad, my information ain't good enough for you, Alex.
No, it's perfect. It's
perfect. I'm sorry.
But yeah,
I apologize. I ain't Wikipedia over here.
don't be sorry. Just be careful.
Very true. Very true. But we're ending to the end of episode 220, and I want to thank Alex and Justin. Thank y'all so much for being a part of the episode, and let's dive into a little bit of words of wisdom, and then we get to our artist of the week.
Yes, sir.
Who would like to venture down the words of wisdom road first?
I'll start. My words of wisdom is just simple. It's just hug your homies.
Always.
Hug your homies, man. Hey, always make sure, reach out to them. That's it. Reach out, hug your homies, love your homies.
For sure, dude. And, yeah, I just went through that, bro. I work with this guy. He's one of my best friends. You know, seeing him every day. Yeah. You just let people know that you love him.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been trying to do since then, you know. I've been making sure that I hug my homies, bro.
Yeah.
I really have.
Reach out to them, man. Hey, if somebody that you ain't talked to in a while, just let them know that you're thinking about them.
Yep.
If you think about somebody, immediately just shoot them a text.
Same. How easy is that? What up?
What's up, man? Shoot them a text. Whatever. Easy as that. Love your homies. Hug your homies. That's my words of wisdom.
That's great.
Joe?
Justin?
Well, I'm going to throw back to Ted Lasso because I watched that, and it came up recently on my social media. It's don't be judgmental, be curious. Like, don't judge somebody. Ask questions first.
Yes.
Just ask questions. You don't know them, so be curious before you judge.
I guess my words of wisdom is if you have a dollar, give 10 cents back to the community.
Yes.
I'm in the building process, idea phase of doing some pantry boxes around town.
Nice.
And I feel like if I can feed my family, that if I build one of these boxes and put $5 worth of groceries in it, someone might come by and get a loaf of bread or a can of, you know, a bag of rice or some beans and stuff. But what I'm saying, if you're living comfortably, that means you can give back a little bit. And yeah. I encourage everybody to find some type of organization or even start your own organization to find a way that you can give back financially, personally, physically, mentally, spiritually, any of them routes, because we all have it in us, and it takes time, but give a little bit more time back to the community is my words of wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Sounds great.
Well, without further ado, let's tackle the artist of the week. The artist of the week is capital YNG Martyr with the song 50K. YNG is an unconventional artist in every sense of the word, known for his distinctive style and his out-of-the-box marketing techniques that have garnered viral online success with over 2 million streams across his catalog. The first national rapper from Cambodia, Australia. Damn, he's from the outback, right?
Yeah.
Is pushing the boundaries of hip-hop by combining his musical and social media fitness and his unique entertaining twist on pop culture moments. Influenced by off-kilter rappers like Sweatshirt and SoundCloud's anti-hero like Ski Mask, the Slump God, Martyr released his debut single, Putin, in 2018. The following year, he took out a big loan to produce his Nike Ticks, which meme page and influencers. The grassroots online campaign was a success for Nike Ticks, quickly became a hit single, and amassed over 75 million streams and a number of accolades across the globe. The viral success of Nike Ticks also helped Martyr establish YNG Marketing, which has worked with global distribution companies to create a modern, unorthodox marketing momentum. YNG Martyr had his best year yet in 2023, and looking forward to 2024 success. But in 2023, from playing in Australia's biggest festivals, Split Milk, Fall Fest, and Local Paradise, to releasing his debut album, Love Sick, to touring with Ian Decor, DC Don, capital SKMPRA, and Lily of the Unofficial Call of Duty campaign. Hold up. Dun, dun, dun. Call of Duty, I love that shit. Campaign and mic dropping, Triple J Bar Steel Performance, and last week invited to play a song, 50, his song that we're about to play at the end of the show, 50K, on stage with Armini White. While bearing witness to YNG's Martyr's global takeover unfold before your eyes, and you're about to hear it at the end of the show, and I just want to take a quick second to thank Alex and Justin for joining on episode 220 of Third Coast Podcast. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much. This has been a wonderful time.
It's been great, man. I was real nervous. This has been awesome. This has been really tight.
But make sure y'all stay tuned, because we'll be putting out some more content in the following weeks. And check out this cool track, by YNG Martyr, and the song is 50K, and for Third Coast Podcast, I'm Joe. What it do, Gators?
Woo-hoo.
And we out.
Yeah. I just got hit with a 50K tax bill. 300 racks in a year, how does that feel? Bitch, I'm feeling great, my pocket straight. I made some MP3s and opened up the gate. I just got hit with a 50K tax bill. 300 racks in a year, how does that feel? Bitch, I'm feeling great, my pocket straight. I made some MP3s and opened up the gate. Walk. Yo, tell the IRS to suck my fucking dick. I sent that payment out. Postman, Pat, bitch, I had to take the paper route. Hoes, in fact, only love you when you make it out. That fat white kid named Martyr, his shit harder. That bitch I'm taking now, mama said. Don't you trust a thought that ain't gonna work for shit. Mama said, fuck these souls, go get the bread. You educate some houses out the cul-de-sac. Fuck who said to tone it back. Meals up on the table, that's a deal that made her heart.
Human condition.
I just got hit with a 50K tax bill. 300 racks in a year, how does that feel? Bitch, I'm feeling great, my pocket straight. I made some MP3s and opened up the gate. I just got hit with a 50K tax bill. 300 racks in a year, how does that feel? Bitch, I'm feeling great, my pocket straight. I made some MP3s and opened up the gate. Walk, walk, yeah.